The spirit world and its activities are big news today. And the idea of the supernatural is not only seriously regarded, but is accepted as a fact. Many of the most recent books on the subject border on the sensational, or are purely speculative, or have been dreamed up in somebody's imagination. But those who take the Bible at full value cannot discount the subject of angels as speculation or hollow conjecture. After all, the scriptures mention their existence almost 300 times. Have you ever seen an angel? I have already said that the angels are created spirit beings who can become visible when necessary. They can appear and disappear. They think, feel, will, and display emotions. But some people have questions about them that ought not concern us. The old debate about how many angels can dance on the head of a pin is foolish. And to ask how many angels can be crowded into a telephone booth or into a Volkswagen hardly merits our attention. On the other hand, we should know what the Bible teaches about them as oracles of God who give divine or authoritative decisions and bring messages from God to men. To fulfill this function, angels have not infrequently assumed visible human form. The writer to the Hebrews asks, "Are they, angels, not all ministering spirits?" Now, have you ever seen a pure spirit? I can't say that I have. Yet I do know that down through the ages, God has chosen to manifest His own spiritual presence in different ways. At the baptism of Jesus, God the Holy Spirit was present in the form of a dove. So God has chosen also to manifest His presence through His angels, who are lesser beings to whom He has given the power to assume forms that occasionally make them visible to men. Are angels to be worshipped? It is no mere accident that angels are usually invisible. Though God, in His infinite wisdom, does not, as a rule, permit angels to take on physical dimensions, people tend to venerate them in a fashion that borders on worship. In Romans chapter 1, verses 24 and 25, we are warned against worshiping the creature rather than the Creator. It's no less than heretical, and indeed is a breach of the first commandment, to worship any manifestation of angelic presence, patron or blesser. Paul has pointed out in Colossians chapter 2, verse 18, that while unusual manifestations may be deeply significant, Jesus Christ, the incarnate God, the second person of the Trinity, who is creator of all things and by whom all things exist, is worthy of our worship. We are not to pray to angels, nor are we to engage in a voluntary humility and worshiping of them. Only the triune God is to be the object of our worship and of our prayers. Moreover, we should not confuse angels, whether visible or invisible, with the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, and Himself God. Angels do not indwell men. The Holy Spirit seals them and indwells them when He has regenerated them.